you very much. It is a pleasure to be in Pittsburgh to talk about my research. Basically, my talk will be in six lines. I will start by recalling you the role switchgrass can play in solving the energy crisis, and then I will talk about how we are collecting our data and why. And then I will go over some results, basically the biomass yield, the nutrient uptake, the ethanol yield, before I conclude, and obviously I do the acknowledgement. As you know, the world is facing a real energy crisis, and this crisis comes with a lot of consequences that go beyond the economics, the environment, and the political instability that are connected to the energy problem. Therefore, attention is paid to biofuel as one alternative for the solution. And when we talk about biofuel, many feedstocks are under screening, and one of them is a switchgrass, which have a lot of good points, but unfortunately, there are many challenges. And one of them is, how can we lower the cost of production and at the same time increase the biomass yield? To do so, we think that nutrient management can be one of the key factors to consider. That's why, for our research, our main goal is to try to understand the partitioning of the nutrients in the plant along the year, and also see how we can determine the best date to harvest the biomass. And at the end, our final goal is by combining the way the nutrients evolve in the plant and the time to harvest, we can not only minimize nutrient removal, but also have one significant impact on the sustainability of the biomass system. To do so, we conduct our research in Missouri, actually southeast Missouri, in the Bull Hill County. We were lucky, and we have a 10-year-old switchgrass, so we did not suffer to establish the plant. And what we did is we harvest the biomass at a different period of the year, and we collect data on the above-ground biomass, the underground biomass, and also in the soil. And we are trying to combine all those data to come to a sustainable decision making. And what we did about the above-ground biomass is we determine the nutrient content, and by knowing the biomass yields, we can multiply the biomass yield by the content of the nutrient and come with the nutrient accumulation, which is also the nutrient uptake of the plant. It was a very hard work, but here I have some slides. From May until November, we did a lot of work. As you can see, I'm digging some switchgrass clamp here, and after this clamp is dug, there are work we do and determine the biomass and therefore wash them before determining the nutrient content and do some more work. You can see that from May until November, the physiognomy of the biomass change, and as the biomass is growing, not only many things are happening as far as water accumulation is concerned, but also the nutrients they accumulate, and how the nutrients move from the soil to the root, from the root to the leaf, and probably from the leaf to the atmosphere. And at this point, I will focus just on the above ground biomass and go over some key results. I will start by the water accumulation in the biomass. You may ask me, why are we interested in water accumulation in biomass? I think it is a crucial issue because it may have some impact on the drying cost of the biomass during the processing. As you can see here, the highest water accumulation, about 37 megagram per hectare, so 37 ton per hectare was observed in July, Whereas in November, this number is highly reduced. So considering at least this data, November have a very interesting impact on the water accumulation and the drying cost. How about the biomass itself? The highest biomass we got was in October, more than 23 megagram per hectare. And I'm talking here about the dry biomass. In November, a slight loss was observed, and this loss was due to the fact that some seed are lost, and also some leaves are cut off by the wind that blow. Considering this result, October seemed to be the highest, seemed to be the month where the highest biomass is observed. Someone may say that October may be the best time to harvest, but I will show you some data now. You will understand that October may not be the best time to harvest. Let's consider some nutrient accumulation, nutrient uptake. For the sake of time, I will try to focus just on nitrogen. As you can see, there is a nice evolution of the nutrient uptake in the plant. In July, the highest value was observed. What I'm talking here is a matter of kilogram per hectare. I'm not talking about percent. In July, we got more than 550 kilogram of nitrogen per hectare, compared to in November, where we got about 120. So this is a very important result here. Because suppose that the nutrient we got in July, from July to November, suppose that that nutrient returned in the root or returned in the soil. So someone may say that November may be the best time to harvest the biomass so that we don't remove that much nutrient in the biomass. But suppose that the nutrient we got in July did not return to the soil, but go in the air. So someone may say, okay, instead of harvesting the biomass in October or in November to maximize the biomass yield, we may want to harvest the biomass in July. If you recall the data I show you, as far as biomass yield was concerned, October was the highest, was the month where the highest yield was observed. But between July, October, and November, the difference is not that much big. So there is a crucial problem here. Actually, people, when they talk about nutrient removal or nutrient uptake by the plant, they don't usually consider the timing issue. And by doing so, we are missing what is happening from the time the plant starts to grow to the time the plant is ready to be harvested. What is key here is many parameters need to be considered. What is the cost of the nutrients, and what a farmer can gain by having some return from this big removal? If you do the math, about 550 minus like 120, it is about 400 kilogram of nitrogen per hectare, which is I think, if I recall well, which is more than we put for corn. This is a big issue here, which have some economy implication and also some environmental implication. And one point I want to point here is a nitrogen in the air is not always a good thing. It can make some nitrous oxide that can have a very bad effect as a climate change issue. So suppose that we decide to harvest our nutrient in October, and part of the nitrogen returning the air and can make some nitrous oxide. That is bad news for the ecosystem, bad news for we who are trying to promote switchgrass for cellulosic fuel production. As you can see, potassium also decrease, some nutrients like magnesium decrease, phosphorus also decrease. Calcium, the decrease is not that much significant. If you come to some micronutrients, manganese did not decrease much, zinc, no much, copper did not decrease much. So in general, most of the micronutrients, we did not encounter any significant decrease along a year, which is understandable. By considering those data, it appeared that we need to be careful how we define nutrient uptake or nutrient removal and try to incorporate this kind of data to come to a much more sustainable decision-making as far as biofuels is concerned. At this point, I would like to go over the implication of the biomass we got as far as potential ethanol is recorded in the case of my research. As you can easily see, the highest ethanol yield we got was in October, which is more than 8,000 liters of ethanol per hectare. This is a cellulosic ethanol, and we base our calculation on the assumption of the renewable applicable energy laboratory, which states that per each kilogram of biomass of switchgrass, you can get about 0.38 liters of ethanol. If we consider the issue of nutrient removal and the issue of biomass yeast, it appears that more than 7,500 liters of ethanol can be per hectare can be got from switchgrass. At this point, I would like to conclude by saying that yes, the harvest date of switchgrass can really play a key role in the sustainability of biofuel production from that plant. And everything will be a matter of timing and a matter to keep the eye open and incorporate many decisions before we make the final one. And finally, as I said, I have data on root and on soil. I'm continuing to analyze them. Maybe next year I come back here with a much more complete picture about my research. I would like to thank my advisor, who is here, Gene Stevens, who is leading me and Bill Folk, and people in Gene Stevens Lab, and Matt, who is here. Thank you for helping. And with that, I would like to have any question or any comment, if you have any. Thank you.
We have about two and a half minutes for questions.
I was curious, what do you suspect the mechanism of nitrogen loss from October to
Okay, the question is to understand how do we explain the loss of nitrogen from July to November. 2 months ago, I was in California for the International Plant Nutrition Conference, and I indirectly talked about this result. One very, very smart guy told me he don't believe that even the nitrogen can go in the soil. I shut my mouth. I know that he don't know what's happening here. And he went to his country in Canada, and about a week later, he emailed me. He kind of apologized. Because really, nitrogen can return into the soil or even can be lost through the leaf. It is well documented that nitrogen can be lost through the stomate. But in addition, when the plant starts to senesce and start to break down, I believe that many mechanical issues are happening that can induce the nitrogen to be lost, or some of them also return to the root, and some return to the soil. I have all those data. I didn't finish to analyze them yet, but that's how I can explain it. And some may be lost by leaching when it rains through the plant they go on the ground.
One very brief question.
Well, the nitrogen's got to come from somewhere, and you know, I think in your system, it's being retained in the system because they haven't harvested this switchgrass for 10 years. My question is going to be, now that we start removing biomass, how long is it going to take to run down the system so there won't be the 5,000 pounds in the soil to replenish that in the plant that's being recycled each year?
Okay, to fully answer that question, we need to consider the root system of switchgrass, how deep that root can go, and how it can explore the soil, how deep is our soil, how much is the reserve of nitrogen in the soil, and which type of nitrogen is it, what is the preference of switchgrass, and incorporate all those what is the ability of switchgrass to capture the nitrogen from the atmosphere, and what is the nitrogen that can go in the atmosphere through loss by the soil or by the plant, before we can come to a very great model to fully answer your question. So at this point, I can only say 2 years or 3 years without misguiding you.
All right, join me in thanking Roland for his presentation.